We started our lead up to Christmas last week with a message that helps us to understand that the intention of God in bringing Jesus into the world was not to give us another religion that we should follow, but to unite us again spiritually with God. And we didn't need another religion, did we? We needed a saviour. That's what we need, and that say that on behalf of all mankind. Someone said that religion is man reaching up to God. And whereas Christianity, at its heart, is God reaching down to man and giving us the way, showing us the way, and that through Jesus Christ. And, you know, you can investigate the main religions. You can go and do a study. You know, the world has many main religions right out there, and you'll see that they may have some lovely philosophy, some very meme-worthy sayings that you could post up on Facebook and, you know, just pop it out there. But, you know, make sure you notice that none of them have a saviour. Make sure you acknowledge that none have a saviour. None have a saviour that was resurrected and rose from the dead. None of them. Only Christianity has that. I just like to think that we get back to that because it's all there. That's all important for us to know and understand. Because if there was any message from God in sending his son to the earth in this Christmas story, and I don't know about anyone else, but I reckon our nativity scene, and I think it's already gone, needs to be bigger, because we see so much what God intended in that baby in a manger. So much truth that comes out of that. And last week we took a look at Joseph and Mary, and you can imagine that with a miracle birth to process, Joseph didn't know what to do. And we started to look at that a little bit. And if you can remember, Joseph had just found out that Mary was with child. She was expecting, and whilst he's thinking, because he knows he's had nothing to do with that, he's thinking, the Bible talks about him being a good guy and just said he'll quietly divorce her. You know, in the Jewish tradition, when you were engaged or betrothed and you wanted to end the engagement, you actually had to write a little bill of divorcement. I divorce you. That was the tradition, I divorce you, and you had to hand that. And of course, it had to be negotiated with the family because the family very much involved. But I'm sure that in Joseph's mind, he was already beginning to pen the letter. And of course, as we know from the story, we looked at it just last week briefly, and then this happened. But as he considered these things, Mary's pregnancy, and knowing that he had nothing to do with it, and how could this be, and all these kind of questions, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to make Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived on her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And again, we see that and looked at that last week, how that those names carry an understanding of what he'll do, what he'll be to us. And so important that we get that. And if we had a takeaway truth from last week, it was this: God's purpose in Jesus Christ was to bring mankind back into his presence. What was lost in the Garden of Eden is restored through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. What Adam and Eve were deceived into giving away, and you know, you can read Genesis chapter 3. Remember, what they had was daily, direct fellowship with God. God would come walking in the cool of the evening, that part of the day after it's rained and it's just all really nice and cool, and he would come at that time and fellowship with them. And we see that what Adam and Eve lost in the garden was designed by God to be restored to us through the Son of God coming to die for the sins of mankind. And the Christmas story needs to be remembered to be about his coming, about his first advent. And we need to be a people who have that message in our hearts, but also ready to share it, because there's so much confusion out there about Christmas, what other people think about Christmas, and, you know, all kinds of things, reindeers. Sorry, we got a few in here too, you know. So someone was telling me about something else that it's now become a tradition that kids follow and have up, and I'm going, my goodness. But, you know, remember, in the Christmas narrative that we tell, that we share with others, that faith is still relevant. And even in the message of Mary and Joseph and their family, their extended family, faith is still relevant. The powers of heaven are still seen to rely on and function by faith at the Word of God. God was still looking for faith even when he was bringing about the virgin birth. God needed that cooperation of believing hearts and his people speaking his word and expecting it to be done. And we'll see that today. You remember a key verse from a couple of weeks ago that we looked at, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Great scripture. And we see in the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to two families. So we want to look at today, Mary's family and, of course, Mary's cousin, Elizabeth's family, to declare God's purpose and to deliver the word of God. And Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias are in their old age now. They've had been childless, had desired their own child. They wanted a family. That's a good thing. I was saying this morning to some folk walking in, you know, that family was God's idea. Let's never forget that. Family is God's idea, and we should keep that intact and value it. And of course, it's their prayer and hope. It's their faith that's been extended. And Elizabeth's husband is in the temple this one day. He's a priest. Okay, he's on the roster. He's serving in the house of God. Good to be in a roster in the house of God. Okay, amen. All those on a roster said?
Amen.
Luke chapter 1. It says verse 8. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, in other words, they all had separate jobs to do, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense. When he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Just understand something about angelic visitation, if you ever have one. Understand it's for purpose. Okay, it's not just to give you goosebumps. All right, probably will give you goosebumps as well, but just understand, angelic visitation is for purpose. Know that it's for divine purpose. So first thing, don't be afraid. Angelic visitation, is it possible today? Absolutely. Actually, we were getting into the deeper parts of this in our Monday Bible College study. Just finished off the term of Bible College study this last Monday, and we're talking about how angels, when they turn up, it's actually also a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the discerning of spirits. And when you actually get to see and experience angels, it's very much something that the Holy Spirit is doing. Okay, a little bit deep there, but have to come to Bible College to get that kind of depth. Hallelujah. So there's next year, don't worry. We'll start term off again. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Don't you know that God hears our prayer? And what does it say? Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor drink, or strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So we have here John the Baptist's miraculous birth being foretold by an angel. His life and purpose being declared to Zacharias as being of huge importance. And all Zacharias has to do is say amen. That's all he's got to do, you know. I mean, we just have to keep it simple sometimes and say, so it is. Glory, hallelujah. But in his fear, he speaks from the place of unbelief. He is stating the facts instead of aligning himself with the truth. And he had great opportunity. is like the believer that struggles with the miraculous. Unbelieving believers, they are out there. Okay, unbelieving believers. Luke chapter 1. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am old. I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." I would say rule number 2 when you're meeting angels is don't speak the problem. You kind of align yourself with the answer. Don't speak the problem, speak the answer. And I like this because it sort of goes, particularly when we see the way this is actually said, how shall I know this? The contemporary English version says, Zechariah said, how will I know this is going to happen? How will I know this is actually going to come about? What's that? Unbelief. So he's speaking unbelief to the angel. Not the way to respond to an angel, an angelic visitation. And, you know, he's not believing all things are possible, is he? He's saying to the angel, convince me. You know, have you got some more information here that's going to help me to believe? And if the angel comes with a message, don't let your mouth be full of unbelief. If you're not going to express faith, you should at least button up, zip it. It's true. It's true. We always need to make faith our conversation. Not unbelief. Don't let unbelief become your conversation and the thing that you freely and happily talk about, or find that special friend that you can talk about your unbelief with. Watch out for that too. You know, that's another tricky thing for believers. And Gabriel has a solution for his unbelief, which is silence. Zacharias is left speechless by that. He doesn't get to say another thing until John the Baptist is born. And that's worthy of note. And the angel answered and said to him, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Watch out when you speak unbelief. Something to avoid. Partnering with God means believing him at his word and saying what he says. Don't be moved by your feelings or what you see happening, etc., etc. Don't watch out for that. Mary also gets a visit from Gabriel. And I love this because this is a completely different circumstance that Mary gets this visit from Gabriel. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 to 28, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" So Mary also gets an explanation, a declaration of who Jesus is, and how the future will be one day under the reign of his kingdom. And I love this. It really taps into even the millennium, that thousand-year reign of Jesus. It actually taps into that as well. So this angel Gabriel is a full bottle. "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David.'" That's the millennium. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." That's beyond the millennium. Amen. "And of his kingdom there will be no end." We've got to see that. You know, when we talk about kingdom, we're talking about something that's going to go on for eternity. This world, sad to say, no matter how much you're invested in it, it's going to fade away. It has an end point. This world system that we know. And Jesus will reign. And he will reign forever and ever. Mary's response is not a response of unbelief. Zechariah asked how this miracle could be. How could this miracle be? I'm old, my wife old, we have never been to have had children. And Mary asks a different question. She asks, how's this going to happen? She wants to know how this is going to roll out. Different question. And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, what? Nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Praise the Lord. Let it be according to me, according to your word. Now, church, I really want to get this out here today that, you know, we have to be a people that are of the word, receiving the word. You know, whether it's coming from an angel, whether it's coming from your book, your Bible that's got paper, whether it's coming from your app, we need to be a people that are out there saying, "Let it be to me according to your word." Getting a hold of those promises. At the moment, if you were to be asked and have to put your hand up, how many scriptures and promises are you currently standing on? And when I say standing on, you've looked into the word, you've said to yourself, "This is for me and I'm having this." If I was to get a hands up, would I get a lot of hands going up? You know, get a few that are standing on the word. You've found a promise. You've not only found a promise, but you've found something that really speaks to your heart and says, "This is for me, and I'm going to stand on this." Church, we have to be those kind of people. Don't wait for an angel to become a person like that. Become a person like that now through the word, through the great and precious promises of God that we already have in our hands that are available to us right now. To stand on the word and be like Mary and say, "Let it be to me according to the word of God." And it was. You know, partnering with God still requires the same response from us. So we hear the word of the Lord and we receive God's great and precious promises to us. We ought to be those ones, you know, that respond just like Mary. Praise the Lord. Why don't we all just finish on that note? I don't want to go long today and have some fellowship today. Why don't we all stand to our feet and I'm going to pray. Ask that the Lord just really start to minister to our hearts at this time and season. You know, as we come into the quieter time of the year, and particularly as we go off on holidays, and I don't know about anyone else, but you find yourself spending good periods of time, you know, hours of time where you can sort of sit and you can choose to do things that you probably wouldn't need, you know, normally do. Make sure some of that is about getting into the Word of God. Make sure some of that is finding the promises of God that actually apply to your situation and let them be on your heart. You know, let them be not only in your heart but also in your mouth as you speak them out over your lives. Let that be a commitment and a decision, you know, that you do today. You know, let that be your devotion today as we come into this Christmas season and this period where we're on holidays. Rose, come.
I just really believe that the Lord's was sharing with me to let you know that. So we've got 16 days, is it, till the end of the year? Is it? Yes, I think it is. The 14th tomorrow, so the end of December. He wants to give you homework, and the homework is all of you here have to find three things between now and the end of the year that you're believing for to stand on and find a scripture for. So, for example, I'll give you one of mine. Mine's for healing for this area in my body that's been... I've been standing on God's word. So I'm going to pick a scripture and from between now and the end of the year, I'm going to pick three areas. So one of them's healing. Another one might be for my children. I'm just throwing out examples. But you've all got something that... at least three things that you need to find a scripture for. So your homework is you find those scriptures, and then you know how New Year's resolutions on January 1st, how people do New Year's resolution? Well, your New Year's resolution is these three scriptures that you will be then confessing and speaking and believing and not negating with your mouth, not negating with other people when you talk about what you're standing on. So your homework is grab your three scriptures on the three areas And then from January 1st, your New Year's resolution is that you confess them daily. And you speak them forth, you declare them, you believe. You don't negate them. If you accidentally negate them by, for example, if I'm standing for this healing on my hip, and then January comes around and I'm speaking forth my scripture, speaking forth my, and then one day I just go, oh, this hip's really playing up all the time. I've negated it. But then I can just say, sorry, I've negated it, and I'm standing back. You know, like, it's an exercise. It's something you need to practice, 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 until the manifestation of those three areas comes through. So basically I'm saying January 1st, and it's a very common term at the moment, is the reset button. Reset. You know, reset. From that, those three areas that have been bothering you. I mean, you can have 5 or 10, or you can just have one. It doesn't really matter. But I felt the Lord say, try me, test me on this. Prove me right. I will come through for you in these three areas, or however many. But do it. And then keep watch at the door of your lips, what it confesses. Keep watch at the door of your lips of who you share it with, so that you don't negate it. So that's an encouragement. I'll be doing it, and I'll be rejoicing with you as you do it as well. Amen. Okay?
Amen. Thanks, Rosemary. Hallelujah. Well, let's just recognize it is what we're saying is, let it be unto me according to your word. You know, in other words, what a great way to agree with what the promise of God is saying. What a great way to be about the business of aligning our heart and our mouths with the word of God to see it come to pass. We have such a full selection of promises. You know, ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to show you. Which promise should I stand on, Lord? You know, maybe lay out a half a dozen scriptures that promise that particular area. And then that Lord will really speak to you about one. He wants to speak. He wants us to be standing on his word. He wants us to live that way. It's the kingdom way. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we just close in prayer, and I know morning tea is going to be served very shortly. So Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this time this morning, Lord God. And Lord, we take this homework on board, Father. We want to be a people, Lord God, that are about the business of standing on your word, letting it show us where we are, Lord God, letting it show us where we can go, Father God. It is a lamp unto our feet and a guide unto our path, Lord God, the light of your word, Father. And so, Lord, we ask, Lord God, that you shine upon us, Father, with fresh insight, a revelation, Father, from your word. Lord, we ask that you direct us and guide us into promises from your word today, Lord God, that we can stand in on at this time, Lord God, and in this season. And above all, Father God, above all, as we do that, Lord God, let it not just be about ourselves. Let it also be a promise for the salvation of those around us. Let it also be about those that, Father, don't yet know you as Lord and Saviour. Lord, let it be about those that, Father, need to hear this message and understand what it meant for Jesus to be born in a manger in Bethlehem. Lord God, that we would have that message on our hearts. Lord God, that we'd be ready to share that wherever we go, Lord God, because there's others out there that still, Lord, you're in the process of saving. And Lord, we are those laborers, Lord God, sent to minister unto them, Lord God. Lord, those heirs of salvation, Lord God, we're there to minister to them as well as the angels, Lord. Lord, we ask your blessing today on this word and this ministry, on these attentive hearts that are before you, Father. And Lord God, we thank you for the message of Christmas. And we declare, Father God, that it's all about Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Amen.